What's up, y'all? My name is Ian Edwards, and welcome to the Soccer Comic Rant. And the last podcast, we left you. Iran was about to play the USA, and America was about to play Wales. And after that, the World Cup has been turned upside down. If I was going to tell you before the results today, like who was going to go through and who wasn't and who was in jeopardy of not about to be qualified and who finally did, you'd be like, test his urine. But let me tell you something, man. I've seen a lot of football in my life, but not on this level. And we're going to discuss how the hell did Japan pull off what they pull off? How did Australia pull off what they pulled off? How did Denmark end up going home? How did Belgium end up going home? How did Croatia with their old-ass team end up coming through? And Spain, and just surprises. So we got Neil Chakrabarty. What up, Neil? Stand-up comic, Chelsea fan.
Hey.
I don't even know where to start, bro. How you doing?
I'm good. Every World Cup comes up with these random things, like, you know, this upset, you know. Remember when Turkey went pretty long, like South Korea. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this time seems like every group, because I don't think this has ever happened, because when the two games finished, right? So heading into the last game, mm-hmm. I think only two teams had qualified, France and Brazil,
right,
had ensured qualification. And only one team had gone out, which is Qatar, which essentially meant like 29 teams are still in play.
Mm.
And that's just crazy. And a lot of the top teams, you know, just one bad game shows what it can do for you. And then teams like, you know, even if you look at England,
mm-hmm.
they really clobbered Iran, but you know, they've had their tough moments too. But right now, if you look at the entire group stage, they're on top. Like, they have the most points and they have the best goal difference among those teams which are tied on those most points. So it's become a really open World Cup. I think a lot of people were kind of predicting it leading up, because, you know, a lot of the stars in some of the big teams were, you know, they were missing either due to injury. One thing that happens is that usually the summer World Cups, a lot of the big, like the established countries, they have their top players, you know, coming off of a break, whereas a lot of the other countries in their seasons are still going on. I think this has kind of changed now. A lot of those teams are kind of struggling because, you know, players are either not available, or if they're available, like, you know, they have a lot of game time under them. And some of these other teams, I think it's just leveled the playing field a little bit, which has just made things a lot more competitive. And I remember, like, in the lead of the World Cup, like, a lot of people are saying that, you know, the best players are not there, so this is not going to be a great World Cup. You know what happens when the best players from everywhere go missing? It's still the same. Like, you know, it just makes things way more competitive. And eventually, that's what you're going to remember. Like, it's very difficult to tell, like, a lack of quality in a game of football when things are actually competitive and both teams have a sort of a level playing field. So I think whatever happened is good.
I'm going to find something, right? And this is what I've, in my opinion, has leveled the playing field, but it's on Instagram. So using Instagram on the laptop while I'm on Zoom, let me see, it's causing me. I had to go to my activity, and I had to go to my interactions, reviews, deletes, comments, and other interactions. Does that include likes? Let me try that. Oh, my likes. Let me go to my likes. And sometimes when I like stuff, it unlikes it, you know? And I'm like, hey, yo, I think I thought I liked that. So
you need to save it. You need to save it.
Save it. Okay.
Saving is
easier.
You know,
I saved videos before, but I don't even know where they save to on the Instagram.
I can show you. You go to your profile. And then
I didn't save it this time. So now okay. I got to just go do the likes. But I'm going to go to the likes.
Yeah.
And then where you think the time when you think you saved the video is never the time that it shows up. Sometimes they go past where you swear you didn't save it for the video that you're actually looking for to show up. So let me see. What? Maybe I have to scroll down further.
I think you need a video assisted referee.
Mm-hmm.
you need that automatic offside, you know, mannequin.
According to the mannequin in Spain, okay. That doesn't work. The video assisted.
Yeah. Well, actually, according to people in Germany more, because they got really burnt by that one this today. Spain at least made a couple of it.
Listen, it looked out to me from the angle that they first showed us, but then there's that referee that does the Champions League stuff for, you know, the CBS team, and then she like explained like when you're looking from it, you come closer and stand right over the ball, it's in. And you know what, I'm Japanese now, so I believe it's in. Yeah, like I am so pro Japanese right now. I wish I had a shirt for this podcast. Like I am excited for what they did today and continue to do that. And we talked about Japan, like on the low, they're in the perfect group because most of their players play in the Bundesliga. So who you get to play? People you're comfortable with. People from the Bundesliga, you get to play Germany, who you play against them. But, you know, we've been talking about how Japan and South Korea, these countries, they've always been technical, but they never had forwards. And then they just, and I'm not even sure, just because I can't remember everybody's name or pronounce it, if they do have a forward. All I know is whenever you put, is it, he plays for Brighton Hove, is it Mitro? What's his name? Mitro, Mitome. I know when you put him in the game, there's going to be hell to pay. I know that. And they put him in the game today. And he gave Spain, like, they were like, who is this? How come we didn't scout him? Where could we get one of those?
I was having a tough time both yesterday and today trying to watch both games. So as in the...
It's not easy.
Yeah, and as in the, like, yesterday, as in at the cafeteria at my workplace, and, you know, there's a lot of Mexican support. And everybody's like constantly going back and forth between both the games. And I had a good time every.
How many TVs you got in there?
There were three TVs, and two of them were showing the Mexico game, and one of them was showing the Argentina game. And I had a good time every 5 minutes, 10 minutes, having to update people on what. Who needs a goal right now? And then eventually having to tell them, you know what? Now it's beyond goals. You got to start looking at yellow cards now.
If you lead the horse to water.
People laughed at me like in the first half when I was suggesting that, you know, it's going to be, it could come down to drawing of lots. And literally we were like one yellow card either way, you know, away from that.
Right.
So
I'm going to see if this share works. Screens. Let's see. Dropbox, Google, whiteboard, screen. Let me see if this here works on my screen. But because it's on your screen, including notification will be okay. Let's see if this works. It's not working. What I was going to show you is. I stumble. I'm just scrolling through Instagram. You go to Explorer, and I just stumble on these videos of these kids doing a skills drills, and it's like a coach, and he'll let you know when he's in town, and then he'll post videos of the kids doing the drills, And these kids are like 8, no more than 10 years old. And what they are doing, and they're not in England, they're not in Germany, they're not in the parts of the world where the best soccer players come from. Mm. They are in the parts of the world where countries are trying to catch up to the best players in the world.
Yeah.
And these kids are doing things that you would only see, like they're doing adult things in the training videos. And you keep scrolling down his feed. It's so many kids from so many different places that are being trained. And I know America had a thing when Klinsmann was the head coach of America, the Soccer Federation, like figured out a program to like locate people.
Yeah.
And not only did they locate people, they understood that like in Europe, kids from a certain age group are playing with the ball and practicing it more, with it more like more times per week. Like say it was like 20 hours a week, right? Compared to like America or Canada. And then you multiply those weeks by months and years, and that's how many light years away. But these kids are catching up, and we're seeing this in the form of like what Japan did today, like what Costa Rica almost did today, what America's doing now, what Australia, what we were talking about before the podcast started, like what they were managed to do. They qualified to the knockout stage ahead of Denmark. They beat Denmark. What the Moroccans are doing. First of all, a lot of Moroccans, they're born or were raised in like European countries. Mm. But I don't know if you remember a conversation about 4 years ago. We were doing the podcast 4 years ago, right? Like I was in love with the Moroccan midfield. And because you always love something you don't have. And being a Manchester United fan, I was like, we need to just buy, after that World Cup, the Moroccan midfield. Now, they didn't have a lot of luck in that tournament. Like clearly they had bad luck and some decisions go against them, but you could tell like this, that team deserved to be in the knockout round. They played legit teams. They brought it to them, but they didn't get through for one reason or another. I can't remember everything, but this Moroccan team 4 years later with more time on the ball, your boy Ziyech, and they're through. And it's the same from the moment I was watching them in their first game. It's like it was their midfield again. And Amrabat, whose name I'm pronouncing wrong, like they are ball winners in that motherfucking midfield. That not only when they like they come at you in waves and they'll take it from you, if not the first time or the second time, the third time, because if you beat one person, you push the ball that little bit much ahead of you for the other person to get it. If they don't get it, the third person will get it. You're not leaving the midfield with that ball. And Morocco is balling their ass off. So it's these countries are catching up, man. Like they just catch. I could see it years ago with like when was it, who had that World Cup? Korea or Japan or both of them? South Korea,
Japan? Yeah, South Korea, Japan.
Like technically, there was just something missing, like the finishing. Like they couldn't get the finishing right, but like passing the ball and all that stuff, it was like once they got to the final third, that's where their knowledge was lacking. But now, as you can see today against Spain, it's not. You listen, if you're a World Cup team, no matter if your name is storied, the country has multiple cups, watch your back. Not only do these people have skill, they don't care who the hell you are.
Also, I think every generation you see that, right? Like the average age in which you get that critical mass of players playing football in some of these countries keeps going lower and lower, which means kids that are coming up are getting exposed to more advanced coaching at an even earlier age. And those are some of the things where the established nations have always been ahead of ahead of the others. And that's obviously something. If you bridge that gap, that really helps, because by the time if you're getting into professional coaching, you know, in your teens, you're already like way behind what kids in Europe, South America are doing. So I think that's helping some of the coaching. Coaching in those countries themselves has really those levels have gone up. And I mean,
still trying to find a video as I'm listening to it. I'm trying to find it on my phone. So yeah. If you hear some noise, that's what it was.
Sorry. Yeah. And also, I mean, this is a good, like, and we are talking about this even in the lead up, right? Like, we don't have, yes, France has this golden generation. Brazil maybe, but France has a lot of injuries. Brazil, you know, there's always a fear that really beautiful football can come unstuck in a scrappy situation in some game, and you kind of seen that, because even though you know, France, so no team has got 9 points yet, right? Like, Brazil has a chance at doing that, 3 wins, but even Brazil's 2 wins didn't come easy. Like, they really had to fight for those points. So yeah, I mean, every single team, actually, I guess except for the host nation, like, they're all, everybody's putting up a good account of themselves. So I think years down the line, you really look at this World Cup as the World Cup where, you know, the axis kind of shifted from being just Europe and South America.
Yeah, this is the World Cup of teams catching up. Like look at this. Mm-hmm. Look at this video. Oh, shit. Son of a bitch.
Do you want to send it to me? Maybe I can show it on the screen.
All right, I'll send it to you.
Oh, wow.
These are kids, bro. Kids, man.
Guys, is he even a kid? Like, he is strong as an ox.
They're not even 10. Like, look.
Oh, wow. What country is he from? Where is this?
This might be America, bro.
Yeah. It looks America. It like, looks like, you know, some
but
of
but what American, like, the Americans, right, on the panel for soccer right now, like Lexi Lawless, Landon Donovan, and who else is there? Clint Dempsey. They weren't doing this at this age.
Yeah.
Like, this is man shit.
Mm.
And then if I scroll down this guy's feed, just the skill levels of, look at this little motherfucker.
Oh, wow.
It's a feed full of this shit. Look at this. This is a girl.
Yeah.
It's over, world. The football is shifting. It's...
Oh boy, I think I saw this tweet somewhere where, you know, England was when England was drawing to US, they're like, guys, your golden generation is being is scrapping to a draw versus these suburban kids. Like, wait till football, wait till soccer reaches all of America. You guys are gonna be nowhere.
Some guy. But he did caption it. He did a rant on Instagram, and he did caption it. Everyone, every just American fan that doesn't really know about soccer, he's just like, you can't beat some kids from Colorado. Wait till you know.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, these are all kids that have a cul-de-sac.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You should be able to beat them.
You can't beat a guy from a basement in Pennsylvania. Then you're in trouble. You're supposed to invent this sport. Blah, blah, blah. But America has probably the best midfield they ever had. And they call it MMA, which is Musa, McKinney, and Tyler Adams.
Yeah.
And it's like America had a decent midfield, which I thought was their best midfield back when. What was the name of that coach? His son was in the midfield. And then the other guy from Germany, Jermaine, I forgot his name. I forgot Jermaine's name. But he's like half.
Are you talking about, Arena? Was this the start of
name? No, not Arena. But the coach was the coach. His son was on the team in the midfield, and his son used to play for Roma. I just can't remember his name right now. And he actually got fired when Justin
Bach. Bob Bradley's
son, yeah. And then Jermaine. I forgot Jermaine's last name, but they were ballers. I was like, oh, this is a solid midfield. It's just the rest of the team. But if you look at the U.S. team, these are legit guys, man. Like, even Aronson, who isn't playing that much. It's just they have no depth. The U.S. has no depth. Like Berhalter has to, like, play these people who he has and, like, just in these knockout rounds and just, like, let them play and see if they can last out. Like, he got them the rest that they could get. But when he puts in who he has on the bench, it's not been great so far.
Yeah. I mean, he's not playing Giorena. That doesn't help, though. They need to fix that. Whatever is going on between him and Giorena, they need to fix that.
That's weird, right?
Yeah, that's super weird. And for it to actually happen at the World Cup, like, that's some French team shit. You don't need that. Like, you don't have the luxury of the French team to just come back 4 years later and do your thing. You need to figure it out.
At least the French did that after they won the World Cup. You can't be doing that shit, like you're saying. Like, win it first and then do this shit. So,
yeah. I'm actually, like if you've... Like, has any team really stood out to you?
Yeah. Brazil and France.
Yeah. But, you know,
And then Spain was next level until today.
Spain could have gone out. Like, they won one game.
Yeah.
Or three. I think Brazil definitely stood out.
Yeah. France didn't stand out to you?
I think France had a great... I think they had to, like, really work hard. Because I know, like, this game, the last game against Tunisia, they rotated a lot of players. But they were pretty much playing their best 11, best available 11, at least the first two games. And it wasn't smooth sailing.
Like, what do you call smooth sailing? Like, I thought they were tough games against tough opponents, and they won the way they should have won. And they handled the challenges the way a team like that should. And I also think that those games actually made them stronger as a team, because it presented, like, mathematical problems that they had to, like, work out. I feel like, who do they play? Have they announced?
They play Poland. They play Martin's team.
Right.
So,
Denmark and Poland, and Tunisia was the team that beat them, right? Because they didn't play everybody. That's not an easy group. Like, Poland went through. Hilarious.
Yeah.
And they beat Australia, and Australia beat Denmark. And I feel like France beat Denmark handily, right? 4-1.
Yeah.
I mean, Australia.
Oh, Australia, yeah.
Yeah, handily, yeah. So, yeah. So, we'll just talk a little bit about, like, the stuff today and then go into what's popping up tomorrow. Because tomorrow is the last set of knockout. I'm not knockout, but it's the last round of group stage games. Mm-hmm. And based on today, like, there is no time. You're not wasting any time to get up to watch any game because this World Cup, like you were saying a few years ago, and in some World Cups, there's always like one or two teams, but there's something going on in every group. Like, even with the England, Wales, and Iran. Iran, who got pumped 6-2 at the beginning of the round, had a chance to go through on the... So it's just, so today, any thoughts on the Croatia-Belgium?
There's only one thought you can have. Like, forget whatever happened in that game. That last 30 minutes, how did Lukaku not even score once? It's just, I mean, I understand, like, there's some context, right? Like, he hasn't played a game in a while. I think he's playing his third game or fourth game since August. So I'm sure he's rusty. But, like, I mean, if you're that rusty, you shouldn't be at the World Cup. Like, this is essentially, you know, what they say, like, oh, he's not. If they had taken Reece James, for example, Reece James on one leg, I'm sure would have performed better. How can you be so off it? It should show up in training or something, right?
Now, it's like what all the pundits say, and it's kind of cliche. Like, there's no shape like game shape. And the only way to find out you're not in game shape is to play a game. But this was the only 10, 15 minute slot. You know, like, you could tell he wasn't in game shape because of the little amount of time they gave him based on how important this game was. They'd be like, you'll be good for 15 or 20. And that's you know, not a lot. Like, they probably feared an injury or something. And they're like, and his being out of game shape, like, the reflexes that you need for a game are completely different than practice. It's a different speed. And there's no practice games to get you in game shape because he's like trying to recover from an injury. And it's a bad look for him today. Like, nobody is going to look at, you know, like you mentioned it, but you kind of brushed it off. But I see it as the main thing of what happened to Lukaku today. Just you being in game shape, like being used to the way the ball moves and the deflections and the passes in a game. There's just, Lukaku proved today, there's nothing like playing an actual game. He's probably can score 5 tomorrow now. That's the problem.
Yeah. Because these are actually the kind of chances he missed. So this is actually Lukaku's strength. Like, you know, Lukaku, I know he has some flaws. Right? He's not that. He's not absolutely complete. But, like, the chances, this is his bread and butter. Like, getting rid of easy chances. That's something he does fairly regularly. But, yeah, he was just disastrous. Like, I think mentality also played a factor, because I think after the first miss, the second miss, he probably started thinking already about all the tweets, all the comments, you know, about Gavin Marcotti piling on, like, all the ESPN FC crew. Because among all the top footballers we've seen, this is one guy who has, you know, voice the fact that he does let criticism get to, like, he reads a lot of this criticism.
Right.
And he knows like 6 or 7 languages, so he reads it in all of them.
That is hilarious. It's like, you're like, it's great.
He's listening to the Spanish commentators.
You can see yourself being criticized in 6 different languages. That's crazy.
Yeah, like imagine.
Shit, I wish I didn't learn.
Like, you know that scene in the Saudi dressing room? Like, where the coach was shouting at them and the translator had to translate. So now imagine being the one dude in that team who knows both English and Arabic.
So you're getting yelled at twice.
Yeah, twice. The others kind of like chill out, zone out.
Oh, that's pretty hilarious.
Lukaku, he one of the languages he does speak is the American accent. So, you know, he gets a lot of money for that. So, yeah, even Alexi Lalas.
He wants to be a rapper so bad.
Yeah.
Be a rapper so bad.
Yeah.
What did Alexi Lalas say about it?
I mean, I don't know, but I'm pretty sure nothing good. he's copying all of that today. So,
yeah, and he's a person that people like to pile on to too, Lukaku.
Yeah.
Like, he gets more grief than he probably deserves, but go ahead.
He said that in the past, you know, when people think of world-class strikers, they speak about Harry Kane, Lewandowski. With me, it always comes with some caveat, but no, you know, I'm up there. A, you shouldn't be saying that about yourself. And B, like, that's such a big-ass target you're putting on your back the moment you say that. And that's essentially what has happened, because he said that right after that inter. Yeah, he said that.
I don't even think I've ever heard Messi say that shit.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and he said that right after the Italian, you know, Serie A, he won with Conte. And that was, you know, his stocks were the highest because he finally won something, you know, with his goals. And ever since then, it's been a downward striker. I remember like when he came to Chelsea, and we had this big striker problem. Like we couldn't score goals. So the one of the first training videos that Chelsea TV put out was him in a training kit, and they're all doing the shooting drills and stuff. And he scores a really good shot from a good way out, right on the top corner. And he looks back and he's like laughing, and he can't control it. And he says, "I'm going to teach you guys how to shoot one by one."
Boy.
This is what we're dealing with here. So, you know.
He got no chill. He needs to chill. He got no chill. He just got to calm down, bro.
And there were so many reports. I don't know if you read, like there was like a rift in the Belgium camp. So
because of De Bruyne being honest.
I mean, maybe he shouldn't be saying that. I think so. But I also the report, like, you know, they talked about like Courtois not speaking to De Bruyne, which we have known for a while. Like they are.
Oh, why? Why? I didn't know.
So this is like back in the early 2010s, I think, when they're both either at Genk or I think they had just moved to Chelsea or something like that. So De Bruyne used to date this girl. And I might be wrong, but I think he even had a kid with that girl. And then she cheated on him with Courtois. So.
Oh, because it's funny, like, De Bruyne look like he's the one that would cheat. Like, he looks like the one that get cheated on. Like, he's just such a humble,
just Kevin just from into Home Alone.
To soccer. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So
his first time at Chelsea? That was only
Yeah, I Chelsea. Think so. Yeah, yeah.
So not only did he, like, get his girl taken, he got this soul and shipped out.
I'm not really sure if it was that because, you know, my memory's a little hazy there, but it could have also been the time when they were in Belgium, you know, playing at club level just before Chelsea.
Oh, man.
But either way, so they've not been in talking terms, apparently, for a while now. I would have thought that's what under the bridge has been, you know, there were kids back then. But the report came out that Courtois and De Bruyne don't talk to each other, which, okay, fine, there's some historical context to it, makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing report goes on to say that Lukaku and Michy don't talk to each other, which at this point I was like, you know, that's a little convenient because, you know, they're both strikers. So they, you know, you mm-hmm. have to, it's easy to make that accusation. And then the mm-hmm. third thing was that Trossard and Hazard don't speak to each other, which again, left-sided creative types, they don't speak to each other. Like somebody's really making things up, but yeah, apparently some harsh words were said by Hazard, De Bruyne, Vertonghen.
About ex-girlfriends.
Oh, no. About football, the fact that you know, somebody's not fast enough, you're not the same team anymore. So it is the end of the golden generation for sure. Now for sure, right? They've never, like in 2 years' time, no way.
They made it to a semifinal, right? Of a World
Which is
Cup
great.
World.
Like they made, and they Which won is- the third place golf. So they finished third.
Yeah, which is a golden generation thing to do. Every golden generation doesn't win a trophy. It just means a World Cup or a trophy. It just means you should at least be in the top four. So mm-hmm. for a golden generation, they did some golden generation shit. And I don't know how many times Belgium has ever come third in a World Cup. So
I think it doesn't mean
it's a failure. I like the pundits. They're like, it's a failure. But then you expect Brazil to win. So how could it be a failure? Like the you don't even think Belgium is the team to win. You just want to say failure.
Also, they lost the same final to another golden generation in France.
Exactly. So
it's not like they underperformed. You know?
Exactly.
And it was a close game. I think they lost by one goal, and they scored the first goal. It was a great game. And, you know, France eventually won out. So it was only another golden generation that kind of stopped them.
Yeah. Just because you have a golden generation doesn't mean everybody else has a shitty team. No, like based on the videos I'm just showing you and just like people, there's other teams out there. Like, you know, like when Michael Jordan win six, the reason why Michael Jordan is huge when he won those six championships, it wasn't because he just won six championships. It's who he beat to win those championships. Everybody knows all those teams were lit. And they had the stars to win that shit themselves. And the fact that he had to beat all those teams, was it the 80s or the 90s? The 80s. Yeah. Like, they were some lit-ass teams, bro. Like, you look at those teams and you're like, damn, a concentrated pros.
Year they were almost coming up against some new all-star team.
Yeah, so it's like it's all-star team versus all-star team, you know? Yeah. So, as for Croatia, I don't know how they keep doing it. Like, I think this game, the Belgium-Croatia game, was a dope-ass fucking game of back-and-forth football. Like, Belgium, even though they didn't lose, they played their best game of the tournament, but they didn't get the ball in the back of the net. I'm not going to pile on Lukaku. He needs some love. So I'm going to try to show him that. But Croatia, man, they're the impressive commodity to me because they have this mentality gear that they could tap into, which makes them they're not the best team in the tournament by far, but mentality wise, like when you can see somebody's mentality in the middle of a game and you can see them shift gears in it and tap into it higher, like just you're like, oh, you don't want to be fucking with these people today. And there's some players that stepped up, like Sosa, another guy in defense, Kramaric. Like, these guys, like, are adding. And this is an old-ass team. They're just as old as Belgium. They're as old as any other old teams in the league.
Oh, I think older. Like,
yeah.
Their golden generation, I thought, finished last time when they reached the, I think it was the finals.
Yeah, I think by the time we found out that they literally had a golden generation.
They were done.
They were done, yeah. Like, there's some people, like Rakitic ain't there. Lovren is still playing. I'm like, how are they holding teams to no goals with Lovren in there? Like, he's been kicked out of, like, the main European leagues.
Yeah.
Because he's too old and he's starting this shit. I just want to go to Canada, Morocco, to give Morocco a shout out for, like, doing what they've done. Like, I've talked about seeing that midfield 4 years ago, and they've only improved upon it, and they're there. And did you have any thoughts on the Japan-Spain games, or did we kind of say it?
I didn't actually see it all because I was focusing on the Germany game. But yeah, I had an eye on it.
Right. I watched them both. It's tough, man. It's not easy to watch two games, especially when they mean so much. And then to hear one thing in one game, and then you like realize you're missing something in another game. You don't know when all the subs are made or when the formation changes have been made. You kind of have to grasp an idea. But Japan, their determination, they have a kamikaze determination. You feel me? It's like Spain has been pinging the ball around against all these teams. And America, when you lost 2-0 to Japan in that tune-up game before the World Cup, you lost to a team that just beat Spain.
And so finished top of the group. A group that had Spain and Germany.
Yeah, and a group, and I gotta give a shout out to Costa Rica that almost finished second in that group.
I mean, all four teams could have gone through. Like, at various points today, all four teams were in the top two.
Yeah. And so, that's fucking crazy. Especially when one of the teams, their first game, they got their ass whooped 7-0. You'd be like, they're out of the conversation. Why even play their games? Send them home now. And you got to give Costa Rica credit for pushing it this far. And then Costa Rica, Germany. What do you think of Germany?
I think Germany they just have like too many square pegs and round holes. Like, you know, I think this team needs like a proper reset.
Knock the building down to the studs.
Yeah. Because I think they've been trying to hang on to the, you know, what they built in the last decade. But today, like, of course, you need to build a team around Musiala. I think he's made that clear. Like, he's their star boy.
Levels above just levels above all the giants he was on the field with. Like, I was like, it's like the best German player was black and not even fucking German. he's English. I was like, how is the best German player 20 years old, black and English? This is what an appalling thing to watch. I do. Are you traitor? Well, you're out, Musiala. If you had fucking been English, chose England, you'd be in the knockout round. But you chose to be German, which you barely are, because I'm saying it. That's not facts. Go home. Go home to Germany, bro. Go home to Germany, because you should have chose England. But he's a monster.
You know what's so funny about Musiala? Like, he obviously has Chelsea roots, like, right? Mm-hmm. But he's also got Polish in his blood from I think his mom's side. And he also, like, in his very early, like, when they first moved to England, I think when he was 8 or so, he spent a year at Southampton's academy. And of course, you're pissed at him because he used to be English. So we all four of us have like some sort of mistake.
and he didn't choose any of us. So,
yeah.
So I'm acting like I'm jilted. So I'm acting jilted. Fuck it. I'm straight up jilted, man.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Imagine that in our squad. Jesus Christ. Like he was the man, and they were the boys today. And yeah, but Germany did not make it through.
Yeah, I think a little too late. See, that's the thing with this World Cup. Like, you do badly in one game, you have no way to recover. Like, you gotta like, because the pressure then is on you in that last game to win. Mm-hmm. And they needed Spain to do them a favor today. They did
Spain a favor.
So both teams needed each other.
Yeah.
They did Spain a favor, but Spain did not do them a favor.
Yeah, Spain is through on the strength of Germany.
Yeah.
And then they screwed over Germany towards the end of the game.
Yeah.
When they just started passing it around. All right, you take the 2-1 win.
But Spain is also through because of that shellacking they did in that first game, because they won on goal difference, right? So if that hadn't happened, it was like a 1-0, 2-0 win, they'd probably be out.
Yeah. If only Costa Rica had realized that they did belong in the tournament earlier than they did, then they would have did better. But hey, man, shout out to you, Costa Rica. You really, it's a shame you're going home. Somebody had to, but you really did your thing. I want to talk about the games tomorrow, which is the last round of 16. Mm-hmm. Just get that in real quick and then bounce. But South Korea versus Portugal. I'm trying to remember, like, who's where, like, in this group, period. I'm trying to scroll it up on my thing, but the group shit. Let me see if I can get to it on this phone. Overview matches. Fixtures. Let me see. Standings. All right, the standings started working. It wasn't working before. But
I got to say about Belgium, though. Kevin De Bruyne, like, his... He showed up in the last 20 minutes, but before that, an entire tournament, he was... I thought him and Courtois can, at least carry Belgium a little bit further forward than they did. But yeah. I think he went missing, and he's been missing for a while and in national team level. Like, this time, Lukaku was injured, right? And Hazard's obviously not Hazard anymore. So I really thought that the onus would be on Trossard, De Bruyne to pull Belgium through. But again, like, today, it took a long, long time for De Bruyne to get into the game. And you're a midfielder. I think at national level, his performances haven't, kind of flattered to deceive. If you've never seen club level De Bruyne at national level.
That's why I don't fully rate him, you know, because I want to see that club form in the pro. But I did think he did carry Belgium as far as they could go. And I got to give him the props for getting to the semifinals and finishing third, like the last World Cup. But a lot of the blame, like I don't want to be pointing fingers, but there seems to be something lacking in Martinez's coaching. To be a good coach, you got to make some cutthroat decisions, even ones that you don't want to make. Like one, even though we're into the round of 16, like I still think playing Maguire is a mistake. But now, what else are you going to do? Because Ben White just went home. Because anything Maguire is doing, which he's having a great World Cup, Ben White would have still done it 10 times better. But then Ben White just went home, so I don't know what's up. So I don't think there's any other option right now. So Maguire hopefully just keeps doing as good as he's doing. So I can't front, he's been doing a good job. But
do we know anything at all about why Ben White is gone? Or is it just that
first they said he was sick, and then he said he went home, and then somebody else went home, but it wasn't from England. Somebody else went home, but it was an injury. Because I was reading about Ben White and another player, but I don't think they were English.
Another English player?
I think it was somebody else that you'd recognize their name. Mm. They were just talking about that. The Sky Sports was clearing it up. But Martinez, it's like, hey, man, Hazard, he's just not, he hasn't been playing for Madrid for the last 2-3 years. You know, and I know Wales did the same thing with Bale.
Yeah.
But how much did Hazard help them qualify? I don't know. I didn't see all the Belgian qualifiers. And if he didn't, or even if he did, you got to make that decision. You got to be cold-blooded, fam. Or like you had a Doku sitting on the bench. Like
what? Trossard sat on the bench for the longest time.
Yeah. And it fucks up the team harmony. And maybe that's a part of the problem where people are like, hey, man, these guys aren't even playing for their club. These people are holdovers, and yeah, they got you third the last time, but you're playing them while I'm killing it now. And it's like, you shouldn't be playing, but you can't say that, but it's going to cause, it just breaks, unless when they do play, the players Martinez picks, they're doing something positive, then fine. But if not, it's going to cause a rift between the players that want that spot, and that's not going to help team unity. Like Doku, you mean you had a Doku that you could have been unleashing in this World Cup, and you just did it 10 minutes before the last game? That guy was a terror.
Yeah.
He was a terror today. Nobody could handle him. It's like, who got that thing? What the fuck is it? And get it, it's like a scene from one of those horror movies where they just let the thing out the box. Yeah. And that motherfucker was dribbling all over the place. And then it's like he just played all his old people. Like he did everything to get Lukaku, who's clearly not fit and in game shape, in the game. Mm. Everything to say, all right, Hazard, we're going to hold you off to the last minute and unleash you so that you no longer start games. You're going to play at the end of them. Like, and then you'll be more effective. Then you can give it your all. And then it's just a lot of that. And it's like he didn't take the risk as a coach that he needed to take to get the team further, and this is where you're at. You go home. So Portugal's at the top of this group. They seem like they're already through, because Ghana is the next team with 3 points that could catch them.
Yeah.
So how is Portugal not through already?
Now Portugal's through.
They're through. Ghana got 3 points.
It's just about whether can they finish first or not.
Right. Yeah, that's a possibility. South Korea got 1 point.
Mm.
Who did they lose to? And Uruguay got 1 point.
So I think, okay, so Portugal plays South Korea and Ghana plays Uruguay. Oh my God, this is going to be the revenge of Asamoah Gyan. This is going to be, and if I'm not wrong, both Luis Suarez and Asamoah Gyan are in the squads, which is crazy for.
Oh, they are? I know because, Suarez is.
Yeah, because I remember there was some report of Gyan actually trying to make a comeback. So I don't know if he actually eventually made the comeback, because he was selected in the lead up to the World Cup for some team. Now, let me see. Oh, no, he isn't.
Yeah.
My bad. He isn't, but...
That's why they were interviewing Suarez about the handball.
Yeah.
Like, recently, I've been seeing those videos pop up on the YouTube. But I was like, why are they revisiting this? And it's because of Uruguay versus Ghana. Yeah. Okay. Because Ghana could go through tomorrow if they beat Uruguay.
Yeah,
Uruguay, they haven't looked great.
Yeah.
I mean, they're fun to watch because I can see Pellistri play. But, you know, you're talking about, like, club form. And it's like Valverde is showing up a little bit. But it's like, it's another. This is another coach that's holding on to holdovers. Like, players from the past. And I love Cavani. Suarez. And who else is on the team that's like, they're just like, they need to like, just, the good thing about this World Cup for Uruguay is that those guys who their time has passed won't be there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll be forced to like, find, it's like, as a comic, when you have an hour that's killing, you won't get another hour unless you shoot a special.
Oh, yeah.
And then you're forced to, like, you can't tour with that hour anymore because everybody's seen it on TV.
Yeah.
So then you're forced to come up with another hour. And that's how comics come up with another hour. There's no safety blanket.
Yeah.
And you're forced to become your best again and be your sharpest tool. So Uruguay's in a position where they're leaning on comfort food. And it's not. You know, comfort food is not good for you. It's great for the moment.
I'm actually looking at the bracket. It seems to me that this might be the first time that there are only two South American teams in the round of 16, Brazil and Argentina. And, you know, even Argentina kind of like scraped through.
Yeah, they definitely did. I also want to see how many African teams have made it through. Because
two have made it through. Ghana and Cameroon have a chance. Both Ghana and Cameroon have a chance. Cameroon, maybe not because they're playing Brazil.
Right.
But you know, mathematically, they have a chance. But Ghana has the more realistic chance. And I was just looking at it. I think there's never been a World Cup where more than one African team has gotten out of the group stages.
And two are through already, right?
Two are through already. It could be three.
Could be three. Come on. I'm playing African spades. So we got two and a possible tomorrow.
I actually want to see when... So right now, if you leave us... So Europe and South America are the powerhouses, right? So non-Europe, non-South American teams. How many teams usually go through? So... Right now, it's the US, Australia. So that's two. Japan, three. And then there's Senegal, four. Morocco, five. So four more stuff, spots left. Potentially two more. So
one is definitely Brazil. Well, is Brazil already on the board? Or do you have to wait for it to be official?
I think Brazil's on the board. It's just about Brazil and Portugal, I think, are through. It's just about whether they're going to finish first or not.
Right.
So it'll be cool to see, like, you know, six or seven non-powerhouse teams, which I'll have to go back and check the records, but I doubt that has ever happened.
Yeah, it doesn't look like a normal board.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. Like, it's the same. This is different. You know, this is completely different. So, yeah, there's two groups tomorrow. Brazil. Like, I just have to watch this thing and see what happens. And what do you think about tomorrow's Friday? What do you think about Saturday? Because America's chances versus Netherlands. What do you think?
I think it's in play. I think they can do it. I don't think Netherlands have been that great. Of course, like, defensively, they're really good. You don't get many in the national team lineups better than Van Dijk, De Ligt, and Nathan Ake. So,
okay, yeah.
But the keeper's a little inexperienced. And, you know, earlier when I was talking about, I feel like not a lot of teams have stood out. Actually, I was thinking about it. USA has kind of stood out in all three games. It's just that they haven't, you know, they haven't converted it to wins except for the last game. So I actually feel if they can, like, if things can fall in place, USA can actually pull one over the Netherlands.
Yeah, I feel like defensively, that you named it, Netherlands defenders, they have the best defenders. But there's only one midfielder that plays for the Netherlands that I feel could fit into the USA midfield, and that's De Jong. Like, I couldn't even, like, the way MMA is playing, like, they would start on for the Netherlands to me, like, just from what I've seen them do. So that gives the USA the upper hand in that department. And then forward-wise, I feel like Depay is just going to be healthier than he has and more fit and more game-ready. And then when that trickery and Gakpo, so then I give Netherlands the advantage there compared to what the U.S. has done so far. It's like one goal a game. But it's football. It should be bouncing funny. It's going to be a fun game. But just based on how I just kind of broke it down for myself, I'll give it to the Netherlands. And but I'm not doing it this time just because it's the Netherlands, just because, you know, and I don't know how healthy Pulisic is going to be, and I don't know if Berhalter will ever consider playing Gio Reyna for whatever reason. I don't know what Gio Reyna did.
Yeah, that's so strange. I don't know what. Yeah, that's the most strangest thing I've seen. Like, how can you just shut out one of your main players in a period of the pitch? Like, I think they can use some help in those attacking areas. So, and we haven't heard anything, any rumblings of a dispute coming into the tournament. Just something in Qatar. Like, what, did he, like, go out, step out for a beer or something? It seems to be a very Qatar-specific problem.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, they were cool before they got to Qatar. They was hanging out. It was boys. Yeah. I don't know. What about England versus Senegal on Sunday?
Oh, yeah, it's going to be a good game. That's probably the most, you know, yeah, no favorites on that one. I think that's, yeah.
I don't blame you.
Yeah, I really can't tell which is a strong team. Maybe on paper, England's stronger, especially since Senegal doesn't have Mane. But, yeah, I mean, Senegal's looked, you know, after that first game, I think they've looked good.
Yeah. And then who does Senegal lose in the first game against?
Netherlands.
Portugal? Netherlands?
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like they just realized that they do have some value. My only thing is, like, if Mane was there for Senegal, I'd be, like, more worried, but he's not. Yeah. And then when I think of, like, the forwards that they do have, like, so on paper, again, I'm going with paper. I'm going to go England. But I also wish England had that. It's always mentality with England.
Yeah.
It's always mentality. It's like skill after is never the question. But mentality is everything. It's like how you, your perception is everything. And I really wish England players had a better perception of themselves. So when it comes down to the do or die moments against, just when it gets tough, they will against some. Senegal is probably one of the teams they'll always have confidence against. But I wish they would have the confidence that they're probably going to start the Senegal game with against teams ranked higher than Senegal. So,
yeah, no worries about that. If they beat Senegal, they're friends. France. So
yeah, they're France. Because France got Poland. Poland knows they're not supposed to be in this round.
Yeah,
and that's the funny thing about Poland.
scared to on yellow cards.
Yeah. Even Martin was like, he felt terrible about the way they played.
Yeah.
So much that he can't be happy that they made it. He's not happy that they made it to the second round. I don't see Martin like feel that way about something that he supports. He normally, most people are like, well, we got through anyway. But he's like, nah, he's like, yeah.
I need to figure out which one is the Brazil bracket, because this is so confusing.
I think they're on the other side of the English bracket. And now I can't even stand it. Let me see if they show brackets here.
No, they show the bracket. I've seen the brackets, but I'm not seeing the, what's leading up to those two.
What do you mean by what's leading up to them?
Like what's leading up, like the two remaining game spots, like which teams are coming into it? So, for example,
ahead of time before it happens.
Okay, so winners of H. Winners H, runners of group G play on the 6th. Okay, so that's the 6th. Okay, winners of H. Okay, so winners of H. Okay, so Portugal is in... Yeah, you're right. So Portugal is in the England side of the bracket.
Damn.
And Brazil is on the other side. So Brazil, Argentina, looking like a semifinal if everything plays through that way. So...
So England's on the tough side of the bracket this time, it sounds like.
Well, England has France and potentially Portugal and Spain.
So
let's look at powerhouses, right? So France, England, Spain, Portugal on one side. And the other side has Argentina, Brazil, and depending whether or not you want to call Netherlands a...
I think England's on the tough side of the bracket, 100%. Like, there's no Mbappe and Dembele on the other side of the bracket. Like, Brazil is the toughest team, I think. So Brazil should get to the final. Like,
well, they have to beat Argentina if Argentina go through.
They're better than Argentina from what I've seen so far.
So they have two powerhouses, right? Brazil and Argentina. And right. The other side has four. France, England, Spain, Portugal. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, maybe three on the other side if Netherlands...
But Netherlands is not a...
Yeah.
They're not a powerhouse. I mean, they're Netherlands, but they're not this time.
Is Spain a powerhouse then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't beat Japan. Which side is Japan on?
Japan is on the Argentina-Brazil side.
Shit. You got to look out for those dudes.
Yeah.
Like,
the Brazil, unless Brazil loses in the round of 16, they're facing the winner of Japan versus Croatia.
It's going to be tough. Like, I can't call Japan a powerhouse. I can call Croatia's mentality powerhouse mentality, but the Japan has to, because they're so new to me at being this far, and even to them at being this good, like by the end of this tournament, we'd be like, they're a powerhouse, but it's just too early to call them that. But I'd watch my back around any one of these teams, man. This shit is so unpredictable.
Yeah.
Like, the world is just catching up to the world beaters. This is probably the last World Cup where, you know, all the typical shit can happen. And it's already becoming atypical, becoming different than the norm.
You know what? Outside shot, just looking at the way the bracket is, United States has an outside shot at getting into the same finals.
What side of the bracket are they on?
So they got to beat Netherlands, which I feel like they have a shot at doing
it's
that.
It's possible, yeah.
It's possible, right? And then if they do that, they face the winner of Argentina, Australia. Now, this Argentina team can be got at.
Yeah, they can be got at.
So you beat that, then you're in the same final, probably play Brazil, which is fine. Like, you know, if you can reach the same final being the US team, I think you've done your job. So, yeah.
And then next World Cup is probably their real World Cup because the players are so young. They're like the second youngest team. So the confidence and the lessons you've learned getting that far, then next year I'd be like, they're dangerous. And then maybe by next World Cup, Greg Berhalter would like to play, in the mood to play. So
there might be somebody new by then.
Yeah, it might be somebody new from the guy, one of these kids I just showed you in this video. God damn, the kid was moving that ball.
Yeah, you saw it here first.
So I hear first, y'all. You're welcome. I guess we'll bounce. But thanks for coming on. It's been fun, Neil.
Yeah, no, this is, you know, I couldn't wait. I missed the Monday podcast. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, I also want to give a shout out to whoever on Twitter tweeted at me to, for the love of God, fix your smoke detector. The battery's off. It keeps beeping all the way through the podcast and I'm losing my mind. I heard that and I was like, okay, we got to fix this. So I have fixed it yesterday and yeah, it should be all good.
I wouldn't have fixed it. I would have taken the batteries out of all of them.
I actually wouldn't have fixed it because I was so lazy and it's been lying like that for like 3 weeks. I actually had to get had to get shamed on Twitter to get that.
And they said Twitter went down since Elon Musk took over. But if it wasn't, if Elon Musk didn't take over, then you'd still be hearing Neil's alarm detector go off. So thank you, Elon. Yeah. $43 million just to get Neil's. $43 billion just to get a Neil's fire alarm, smoke detector fixed. All right, fam. Yeah. Have a good one. Thanks for being on. And let's do this again in the morning with this World Cup shit. Right, everybody, be good. Love each other. Be careful. Congrats, Japan.
All right.